Blog Talk Radio.
This is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Hallelujah. Forgive your host. I was getting my word in this morning and lost track of time. So I thank God for the morning glory prophet when he said, oh, it's 7 o'clock. I'm like, oh, my God, I got to get on my own broadcast. Hallelujah. But, you know, we all need a word from God ourselves. When you wake up in the morning, you need a word from God. When you go to sleep at night, you need a word from God. Hallelujah. So I'm thanking God for his word this morning and thanking God for Pastor Fred. Hallelujah. And I am right there with him this morning. Too blessed to be stressed. Hallelujah was the word that I just received. And I tell you, hallelujah. Too blessed to be stressed. Y'all know how we do. And I love the word he said. If you are called to preach, you can't help yourself. You're going to preach whether you're up in the morning or late at night. The word of God just comes to your heart. You just get all filled up. And I can only say, whew, he is all talking to me. But I just want to give y'all what I just got. And then we're going to get into what we have to do this morning, which is our word. But I just had to share this with you. And it was steps to a stress-free life. And the first step is kindness. The second step is forgiveness. The third step is gratitude. And then the fourth step, which I feel is almost the first step, is hallelujah. Let the peace of Christ rule in your life. And another thing that you know, he was saying that stuck out in my mind, and it was talking about problems. And the one of the things it said is, if you have a problem, I believe this is a T.D. Jakes quote, but it says, if you have a problem that a check can fix, you don't have a problem. Come on, y'all. Say, I don't have any problems this morning. I know I don't. I'm all filled up. Pastor Fred just took us there this morning on Morning Glory Nation. So if you are a Facebook person, please, if you get a chance, go out and join the Morning Glory Nation. It will be worth your while. Hallelujah. As Pastor Fred say, this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. That's what we got to have in our spirit today. This is the day that the Lord has made, and I will rejoice and be glad in it. Thanking God for his glory and for his grace this morning. Father God, we come before you this morning, lifting the name of Jesus as we study your word, Lord God. May this word add a blessing to the hearer. And may they receive this word in their heart, in their mind, and in their spirit. In the precious and holy name of Christ Jesus, I lift up, look up, giving you honor, giving you glory, and giving you hallelujah praise, O Lord, for this is the day that you have made. In Jesus' name I pray, asking you, Father God, as I do every day, to increase as I decrease. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my humble heart, Lord God, be acceptable in your holy sight. For you are my strength, and you, Lord God, are my redeemer. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Giving honor to the Most High God, who is the source of my strength and the strength of my life. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Oh, thank you, Jesus. You know, we got to get a word in the morning. You know, even preachers and teachers have to get word themselves. Hallelujah. I'm just all filled up. Morning Glory Nation, y'all fill me up this morning. So I'm just thanking God for receiving a word of prayer and a word from God. And this morning we'll be coming out of Jeremiah chapter 51 and 52. We'll be coming out of Psalms 119 verses 129 to 136, which is where our title is coming from this morning. Proverbs 28 verses 7 through 8 and Titus chapter 2. Hallelujah. And on tomorrow, God willing, we'll be starting a new chapter in the Old Testament. We'll be going into Lamentations. Hallelujah. And so let's get into our word. I hope everybody is with me. For those that have the Charles F. Stanley Life Principles Daily Bible Biblical Principles for each day of the year, we are on page 113-22. And we are on November the 2nd. And before I get started, one more thing. As we talked about on yesterday, giving up something or adding something into your day for these next 30 days. And one of the things that we said is to read a proverb a day, meaning a whole chapter of Proverbs every day. And I started mine last night in Proverbs chapter 1, verse 1. Chapter 1. And so I read my chapter of Proverbs on last night. So today, if you get an opportunity, read Proverbs chapter 2. So let's get started. Jeremiah chapter 51. And it says, thus says the Lord, behold, I will rise Babylon against those who dwell in Lachmai, a destroying wind. And I will send renowners to Babylon, who shall renounce her and empty her land. For in the day of doom, they shall be against her all around. Against her let the archer bend his bow and lift himself up against her in his armor. Do not spare her young men. Utterly destroy all her army. Thus the slain shall fall in the land of the Chaldeans, and those thrust through in her streets. But Israel is not forsaken, nor Judah, but his God, the Lord of hosts, though their land was filled with sin against the Holy One of Israel. Flee from the midst of Babylon, and everyone shall save his life. Do not be cut off in her iniquity, for this is the time of the Lord's vengeance. He shall recompense her. Babylon was a golden cup in the Lord's hand that made all the earth drunk. The nations drank her wine. Therefore, the nations are deranged. Babylon has suddenly fallen and been destroyed. Well for her. Take balm for her pain. Perhaps she may be healed. We would have healed Babylon, but she is not healed. Forsake her and let us go everywhere to his own country, everyone to his own country. For her judgment reaches the heavens and is lifted up to the skies. The Lord has revealed our righteousness. Come, let us declare in Zion the work of the Lord our God. Make the arrows bright. Gather the shields. The Lord has raised up the spirit of the kings of the Medes. For his plan is against Babylon to destroy it, because it is the vengeance of the Lord. the vengeance for his temple. Set up the standard on the walls of Babylon. Make the guard strong. Set up the watchmen. Prepare the ambushes. For the Lord has spoke, devised, and done what he spoke against the inhabitants of Babylon. So, O you who dwell by many waters, abundant in treasures, your end has come. The measure of your covetousness. The Lord of hosts has gone by himself. Surely I will fill you with men as with locusts, and they shall lift up a shout against you. He has made the earth by his power. He has established the world by his wisdom and stretched out the heaven by his understanding. When he utters his voice, there is a multitude of waters in the heavens. He causes the vapors to ascend from the end of the earth. He makes a lightning for the rain. He brings wind out of his treasury. Everyone is dull-hearted without knowledge. Every metalsmith is put to shame by the carved image, for his molded image is falsehood. Now, you know, you're saying in a minute, the devil is a lie. That's right. What does it say? For his molded image is falsehood. And there is no breath in them. Come on now. They are futile, a work of errors. In the time of their punishment, they shall perish. Folks building, putting wood and iron and steel and worshiping a piece of a metal. Come on now. Our God is omnipotent. He is not something you can hold in your hand. He is not a piece of wood. He is not a metal image. He is omnipotent. You can speak to him and he will whisper in your ear. The wood, a piece of metal, whisper to you? Absolutely not. And if something is whispering to you from it, it's a demonic spirit and you better run. Woo, hallelujah. For the molded image is what? Falsehood. Don't be worshiping stuff that is not a God, because he's already told you in his word, thou shalt have no other God before me. Hallelujah. And it goes on to tell us the portion of Jacob is not like them, but he is the maker of all things, and Israel is a tribe of his inheritance. The Lord of hosts is his name. You are my battle axe and weapon of war. For with you I will break the nation in pieces. With you I will destroy kingdoms. With you I will break in pieces the horse and its riders. With you I will break in pieces the chariot and its riders. With you also I will break in pieces man and woman. With you I will break in pieces old and young. You, oh, come on now, the Lord is speaking. I will break in pieces the young man and the maiden. With you also I will break in pieces the shepherd and his flock. With you I will break in pieces the farmer and his yoke of oxen. And with you I will break in pieces governors and rulers. I will repay Babylon, all the inhabitants of Chaldea, for all the evil they have done. In Zion, in your sight, says the Lord. Behold, I am against you, O destroying mountain, who destroys all the earth, says the Lord. I will stretch out my hand against you, roll you down from the rocks, and make you a burnt mountain. They shall not take from you a stone for a corner, nor a stone for a foundation, but you shall be desolate forever, says the Lord. Set up a banner in the land. Blow the trumpet among the nations. Prepare the nations against her. Call the kingdoms together against her. Arat, Minai, Ashkenaz. Appoint a general against her. Cause the horses to come up like the bristling locust. Prepare against her the nations with the kings of the Medes, its governors, rulers, all the land of his dominion, and the land will tremble and sorrow. For every purpose of the Lord shall be performed against Babylon, to make the land of Babylon a desolation without inhabitants. The mighty men of Babylon have ceased fighting. They have remained in their strongholds. Their might has failed. They became like women. They have burned her dwelling places. The bars of her gates are broken. One runner will run to meet another, and one messenger to meet another, to show the king of Babylon that his city is taken on all sides. The passages are blocked. The reeds they have burned with fire, and the men of war are terrified. For thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, the daughter of Babylon is like a threshing floor. When it is time to thrash her, yet a little while, and the time of her harvest will come. Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, has devoured me. He has made me an empty vessel. He has swallowed me up like a monster. He has filled his stomach with my delicacies. He has spit me out. Let the violence done to me and my flesh be upon Babylon. The inhabitant of Zion will say, and my blood is upon the inhabitants of Chaldea. Jerusalem will say, therefore thus says the Lord, behold, I will plead your case and take vengeance for you. I will dry up her sea and make her springs dry. Babylon shall become a heap, a dwelling place for jackals, an astonishment and a hissing without inhabitant. They shall roar together like lions. They shall growl like lion whelps. In their excitement, I will prepare their feast. I will make them drunk, that they may rejoice and sleep a perpetual sleep and not awake, says the Lord. I will bring them down like lambs to the slaughter, like rams with male goats. Oh, how Sheshak is taken. Oh, how the prey of the whole earth is seized. How Babylon has become desolate among the nations. The sea has come up over Babylon. She is covered with the multitude of its waves. Her cities are a desolation, a dry land and a wilderness, a land where no one dwells, through which no son of man passes. I will punish Baal in Babylon, and I will bring out his mouth what he has swallowed. And the nations shall not stream to him anymore. Yes, the wall of Babylon shall fall. My people, go out of the midst of her, and let everyone deliver himself from the fierce anger of the Lord. At least your heart faint, and you fear for the rumor that will be heard in the land. A rumor will come 1 year. After that, in another year, a rumor will come, and violence in the land, ruler against ruler. Therefore, behold, the days are coming that I will bring judgment on the carved images of Babylon. Her whole land shall be ashamed, and all her slain shall fall in her midst. Then the heavens and the earth and all that is in them shall sing joyously over Babylon. For the plunderers shall come to her from the north, says the Lord. And many would probably say, well, that's what happened. The United States invaded Iraq, and now look at what's going on over there. We don't know when this scripture's fulfillment happened or will happen, or if it has happened. But I tell you this, what God's word says will happen, happens. And we know that so much has happened in the country of Iraq or Babylon. And we don't know. It may be happening again down the road 1,000 years, 100 years. We don't know what God's plans are. But we know that whatever God says he will do, he will do. Verse 49 of Jeremiah 51. And it says this, as Babylon has caused the slain of Israel to fall, so at Babylon the slain of all the earth shall fall. You who have escaped the sword, get away. Do not stand still. Remember the Lord afar off, and let Jerusalem come to your mind. We are ashamed because we have heard reproach. Shame has covered our faces, for strangers have come into the sanctuaries of the Lord's house. Therefore, behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, that I will bring judgment on her carved images, and throughout all her land the wounded shall groan. Through Babylon, though Babylon were to mount up to heaven, and though she were to fortify the height of her strength, yet from me plunderers would come to her, says the Lord. The sound of a cry comes from Babylon, and great destruction from the hand of the Chaldeans, because the Lord is plundering Babylon and silencing her loud voice. Though her waves roar like great waters, and the noise of their voices is uttered, because the plunderer comes against her, against Babylon, and her mighty men are taken. Every one of their bows is broken, for the Lord is the God of recompense. He will surely repay, and I will make drunk her princesses and wise men, her governors, her deputies, her mighty men, and they shall sleep a perpetual sleep and not awake, says the King, whose name is the Lord of hosts, says the Lord of hosts. The broad walls of Babylon shall be utterly broken, and her high gates shall be burned with fire. The people will labor in vain, and the nations because of the fire, and they shall be weary. The word which Jeremiah the prophet commanded Sirah, the son of Merah, the son of Nahshiah, when he went from Zadok, the king of Judah, to Babylon in the fourth year of his reign, and Sirah was the quartermaster. So Jeremiah wrote in a book all the evil that would come upon Babylon, all these words that are written against Babylon. And Jeremiah said, Sirah, when you arrive at Babylon and see it and read all these words, then you shall say, oh, Lord, you have spoken against this place to cut it off so that none shall remain in it, neither man nor beast, but it shall be desolate forever. Now it shall be when you have finished reading this book that you shall tie a stone to it and throw it into the Euphrates. Then you shall say, thus Babylon shall sink and not rise from the catastrophe that I will bring upon her, and they shall be weary. And a life lesson from Jeremiah chapter 51 comes from Jeremiah 51 and 5. And it says, for Israel is not forsaken, nor Judah. By his God, the Lord of hosts, though their land was filled with sin against the Holy One of Israel. And Dr. Stanley says this, Jeremiah knew that while God would certainly judge his people for their sin, he would never completely abandon them. He had promised Abraham that he would be with them forever, and he always keeps his promises. And he has promised us through his word that he would never leave us or forsake us. And all we got to do is believe in the word of God. What God says he will do, he will do. And when God says, I will never leave you or forsake you, God will never leave you or forsake you. God will never leave me or forsake me. And, you know, one of the things that I loved again that was spoken this morning, because, you know, a lot of problems come from financial situations. You know, folks just don't have the money to do what they need to do. At least that's what we think. But this is a good word, and I say it one more time. If you have a problem that a check can fix, you do not have a problem. Come on now. We got to take that. Take that word. You don't have a problem. And so you thank God, Lord, thank you for not, I don't have a problem. Because I know that if I need a check, you're going to provide it. Hallelujah. Call it like it is. God is a provider, and he will give you the desire of your heart but he will one thing, give you what you need. And if it's a check that you need to solve your problems, then that's what God will give you. But the problem solver is God. And all we are his children. And what happens? Parents help their children solve their problems. Hallelujah. Giving honor to God. Honor to God. Thank you, Lord, for your grace and your mercy. And as we continue in our word this morning, woo, hallelujah, chapter 52 of the book of Jeremiah. And this is our last chapter. We say goodbye to Jeremiah today in chapter 52. And, you know, it's kind of like you get ready to leave an old friend, because this prophet can prophesy. This prophet has taken us to the ups. He's taken us to the downs. He's taken us high, and he's taken us low. And he has taken us all through history. Come on now, because history is his story. Come on now. God has given us everything we need and more than we can ever ask for. All you got to do is what? Study and read the word. Study to show yourself approved. Meditate on it day and night. Come on now. Let's get started. Chapter 52 of the book of Jeremiah. Thus far are the words of Jeremiah. Zedekiah was 21 years old when he became king, and he reigned 11 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Hamutal, the daughter of Jeremiah of Lebanon. He also did evil in the sight of the Lord according to all that Jehoiakim had done. For because of the anger of the Lord, this happened in Jerusalem and Judah, till he finally cast them out from his presence. Then Zedekiah rebelled against the king of Babylon. Now it came to pass in the ninth year of his reign, in the tenth month, on the tenth day of the month. Come on, y'all. There's some tens up in there. 9 years, 10 months, tenth day. The Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and all his army came against Jerusalem and encamped against it, and they built a siege wall against it all around. So the city was besieged until the 11th year of King Zedekiah. By the fourth month, on the ninth day of the month, the famine had become so severe in the city that there was no food for the people of the land. Then the city wall was broken through, and all the men of war fled and went out of the city at night by way of the gate between the two walls, which was by the king's garden, even though the Chaldeans were near the city all around, and they went by way of the plain. But the army of the Chaldeans pursued the king, and they overtook Zedekiah in the plains of Jericho. All his army was scattered from him. So they took the king and brought him up to the king of Babylon at Riblah in the land of Hamath, and he pronounced judgment on him. Then the king of Babylon killed the sons of Zedekiah before his eyes, and he killed all the princes of Judah in Riblah. He also put out the eyes of Zedekiah, and the king of Babylon bound him in bronze fetters, took him to Babylon, and put him in prison to the day of his death. Now I want y'all to check this out. He was 21 years old when he became king. He was only king for 11 years. So 32 is that number, right? 21 plus 11. Evil as he was, God gave him grace. Because he could have had him killed right then and there. But he got put in prison to understand God was in charge. Everything that Jeremiah told you, you didn't want to listen. You didn't want to do what I said and what I sent to you by my prophet. You didn't want to do it. You wanted to do you, which was evil because your daddy was evil. Your granddaddy was evil. Come on now. It's evil all up and down the place. Then his son comes along and then it's evil. Grandson, evil. Don't make sense. Generational curses, because great-great back there, Ahab and great-great-grandmama back there, Come on now. This is evil. Jezebel. So all of this came down third, fourth generation. And now you don't have eyes. You just saw everybody that you love dead. Killed before your eyes. And now you don't have eyes to see. And now you're sitting in prison depending on other folks to help you. And you were a king. A king that was hard-headed and didn't want to listen. Not trying to preach this morning, but, ooh, the word of God is rich. And as we go to verse number 12 of chapter 52 of Jeremiah, this is a history lesson. This is everything we've read all put into a nutshell. And it goes on to say this, now in the fifth month, on the 10th day of the month, which was the 19th year of King Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, Nebuzaradan, the captain of the guard who served the king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem. He burnt the house of the Lord and the king's house and all the houses of Jerusalem, that is, all the houses of the great. He burned with fire. And all the army of the Chaldeans who were with the captain of the guard broke down all the walls of Jerusalem all around. Then Nebuzaradan carried away captive some of the poor people. The rest of the people who remained in the city, the defectors who had deserted to the king of Babylon, and the rest of the craftsmen. But Nebuzaradan, the captain of the guard, left some of the poor of the land as vine dressers and farmers. The bronze pillars that were in the house of the Lord, and the carts and the bronze seat that were in the house of the Lord, the Chaldeans broke in pieces and carried all their bronze to Babylon. They also took away the pots, the shovels, the trimmers, the bowls, the spoons, and all the bronze utensils with which the priest ministered, the basins, the fire pans, the bowls, the pots, the lampstand, the spoons, and the cups, whatever was solid gold and whatever was solid silver, the captain of the guards took away. The two pillars, one seat, the 12 bronze bulls which were under it, and the cart which King Solomon had made for the house of the Lord, the bronze of all these articles was beyond measure. Now, concerning the pillars, the height of one pillar was 18 cubits. A measuring line of 12 cubits could measure its circumference, and its thickness was 4 fingers. It was hollow. A capital of bronze was on it, and the height of one capital was 5, with a network and pomegranates all around the capital, all of bronze. The second pillar with pomegranates was the same. There were 96 pomegranates on the sides. All the pomegranates all around on the network were 100. The captain of the guard took Seraiah, the chief priest, Zephaniah, the second priest, and the three doorkeepers. He also took out of the city an officer who had charge of the men of war, 7 men of the king's close associates who were found in the city, the principal scribe of the army who mustered the people of the land, and 60 men, the people of the land who were found in the midst of the city. And Nebuzaradan, the captain of the guard, took these and brought them to the king of Babylon in Rabbah. Then the king of Babylon struck them and put them to death at Rabbah in the land of Hamath. Thus Judah was carried away captive and from its own land. These are the people whom Nebuchadnezzar carried away captive in the 7th year, 3,023 Jews. In the 18th year of Nebuchadnezzar, he carried away captive from Jerusalem 132 persons. In the 23rd year of Nebuchadnezzar, Nebuzaradan, the captain of the guard, carried away captive of the Jews 745 people, persons. All the persons were 4,600. Now it came to pass in the 37th year of the captivity of Jehoiachin, king of Judah, in the 12th month, on the 25th day of the month, that evil Merodach, king of Babylon, in the first year of his reign, lifted up the head of Jehoiachin, king of Judah, and brought him out of prison. And he spoke kindly to him and gave him a more prominent seat from those of the kings who were with him in Babylon. So Jehoiachin changed from his prison garments, and he ate bread regularly before the king all the days of his life. And as for his provision, there was a regular ration given him by the king of Babylon, a portion for each day until the day of his death, all the days of his life. And a word from Jeremiah 52:34, there was a regular ration given him by the king of Babylon. While Jeremiah had predicted that King Jehoiachin would die in Babylon, Jeremiah 22:26, the false prophet Hananiah predicted that the king would return in triumph in Jerusalem. Jeremiah 28:4, guess who was right? And we all know who was right was the prophet of the Lord. Hallelujah, thanking God for his grace and his mercy. For God is in charge of everything. And when the Lord sends a true prophet, you better believe it. It will come to pass what is spoken to you from a true prophet. Not prophet liars, but the truth. And the truth is what sets us free. P, your testimonies are wonderful. Therefore, my soul keeps them. The entrance of your words gives light. It gives understanding to the simple. And we are in Psalms 119 chapter, verses 129 to 36. And this is where the title of our word comes from this morning. The opening up of your word gives light and understanding. The opening up of your word, not my word, God's word, gives light and understanding. And let's go there one more time, verse 129. Your testimonies are wonderful. Therefore, my soul keeps them. The entrance of your words give light. It gives understanding to the simple. I open my mouth and panted, for I long for your commandments. Look upon me and be merciful to me, as your custom is toward those who love your name. Direct my steps by your word. And let no iniquity have dominion over me. That's a highlightable. Direct my steps. Keep me in my square, Lord, by your word. And let no iniquity have dominion over me. Redeem me from the oppression of man, that I may keep your precepts. Make your face shine upon your servant, and teach me your statutes. Rivers of water run down from my eyes because men do not keep your law. It hurts a saint's heart when they see wrong getting away with doing wrong. Murderers getting away with murder. Folks doing whatever they want to do and having no consequences. We better understand that God will do what God's going to do. And don't think that evil folks are getting away with anything. In the long run, God will handle the situation. Proverbs 28, verses 7 and 8. Whoever keeps the law is a discerning son, but a companion of gluttons shames his father. One who increases his possessions by usury and extortion gathers it from him who will pity the poor. Understand, there are always going to be users, and there's always going to be takers. But understand that everything that the devil thought he stole from you, God's going to give it back, every last thing. Don't worry, just pray. Titus 2, 1 through 5, but as for you, speak the things which are proper for sound doctrine. I caught that right. But as for you, people of God, speak the things which are proper for sound doctrine, that the older men be sober, reverent, in faith, in love, in patience. The older women likewise, that they be reverent in behavior, not slanderers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they admonish the young women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, homemakers, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be blasphemed. Likewise, exhort the young men in to be sober-minded, in all things showing yourself to be a pattern of good works, in doctrine, showing integrity, reverence, incorruptibility, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that one who is an opponent may be ashamed, having nothing evil to say of you. Understand that all we have in this life is a good name. And the one thing you don't want is somebody trying to take your good name and run it through the muck and the mire. There are folks that get jealous of folks with a good name. They don't like you having a good name. So they want to talk about what you used to do, how you used to act, and then come up and make up stuff about you. We got to understand that God is in charge of our life. You got to do what God says do. If folks talk about you, let your light shine. If folks slander you, let your light shine. If folks misuse you, let your light shine. Because I tell you one thing, all that light is going to show up all that darkness every time. Let your light shine. Don't let anybody knock you off your lighted square. Don't let anybody knock you out of place. God already placed you where he needs you to go. Let your light shine, no matter what folks say about you, no matter how people talk about you. Let your light shine. But the only way your light's going to shine is when you do right yourself. We all gotta be accountable to God. I have to be accountable. And so you say, Lord, if you are God, say, Lord, keep my tongue behind my teeth. If you are a liar, Lord, keep my tongue behind my teeth. If you are a slanderer, Lord, keep my tongue behind my teeth. You got to learn to keep quiet and be still. Because God is in charge. You don't have to talk about folks. God's got it. God will show up everything. Every demon trying to slither in, God will show them in the light. All that darkness. Don't worry about it. Give it to God. Again, what we say, we don't worry. We pray. And as Paul said in the last part of Titus, he says, exhort bondservants to be obedient to their own masters, to be well-pleasing in all things, not answering back, not pilfering, which is stealing, but showing all good fidelity that they may adorn the doctrine of God, our Savior, in all things. Who are we bondservants to? We are no longer slaves, thank you, Jesus, but we are bondservants to the Lord. And the Lord does not want us talking back to him like kids trying to talk back to a parent. You know, I say something, you got to say something back. No. What I said is what I said. What I meant is what I meant. And that's God. What he says. What he means. Because he's not a man and he don't lie. God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present age, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from every lawless deed, purify us, purify for himself his own special people, zealous for good works. Speak these things, exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no one despise you. Because you don't never know what folks are talking about you, are saying things about you. Don't worry about it. Shake it off and keep moving. Because remember this, hurt people hurt people. You don't know what anybody's going through. And all you can do is pray. You know, if you feel you're not getting paid enough, pray. And guess what? God will give you a raise. When you feel that your supervisor is mistreating you, pray. Because you know what? God may give them a promotion and move them out of the way so you got a promotion too, and you become the supervisor. When the bills can't get paid because you're not making enough, or you don't have enough, or you mismanaged, pray and watch God work in your life. Because I guarantee that everybody, all of us, as we going through, don't realize you got all kind of stuff that you can get rid of, that you can sell on eBay, that you can take to consignment. Whatever it is, God's always got a plan in store. All you got to do is follow it and not walk in stumbling darkness. Titus 2:7, life lessons. Showing yourself to be a pattern of good works and doctrine, showing integrity, reverence, incorruptibility. And Dr. Stanley says this, leaders must make sure they're worth following in both conduct and in what they teach. Character and competence are both necessary if the Church of God is to successfully fulfill its mission. Praise the Lord. But that's a word for us who are leaders, that we must make sure that we're worth following in both conduct and with what we teach. When you teach the word, you can't go wrong. You can't. God's word is true. Also, character and competence. You gotta be competent in what you do. Both necessary if the Church of God is to successfully fulfill its mission. If you are a missionary, go on missionary trip. If you are evangelist, evangelize. If you are a teacher, preacher, preach. If you are the shepherd, shepherd your people from the word of God. If you are a prophet or prophetess, prophesy. Whatever your assignment is, do it. And do it with integrity. You are supposed to do, because you're not doing it for yourself. You're doing it for God. Titus 2:12. We should live soberly, righteously, and godly, just as we laid hold of salvation by grace through faith. This is Dr. Stanley. So we lay hold of sanctification by grace and through faith. By the power of grace, we daily crucify our flesh in order to live for God. Got to turn over them plates and do some fasting. Titus 2:14, and it says one more time, who gave himself for us, and we're talking Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people, zealous for good works. Christianity is not to sin less, but to glorify God more. It is not to somehow stop ourselves from doing the bad things we really want to do, but to find ourselves craving to do what pleases God. Hallelujah. And this is one our last thing for this morning. And it says what the Bible says about a gift of teaching. And this is what it says. God has given each believer at least one spiritual gift to build up the body of Christ and to minister in our hurting world. If our gift is prophecy, we'll proclaim God's view of right and wrong. If it is service, we will desire to meet others' needs. The gift of teaching has these characteristics. Organized, whether in conversation or in a more formal setting, we will seek to communicate information clearly so the listener can follow. God has wired us to analyze material and present it logically. As you hear me say in a minute, let's get that in context. Because so many times the word of God is distorted by taking it out of context. We've got to make sure it's in context, and that comes from analyzation. Come on now. And it goes on to say, through thorough, We want others to understand not simply the conclusion, but the steps leading up to it. We also desire to help them think matters through. Accurate. Our priority is to know the truth, so we ask questions in an attempt to validate the accuracy of what we learned. We will also inquire about the trustworthiness of our source of information. That's why you have to have more than one Bible, more than one source. Different versions sometimes makes things easier to understand. You know, you go out and you find source materials, buy books, read and study. We got to do that. Go to conferences. You know, find out as much information as you can get. Studious, we derive great delight from studying and researching and are strongly motivated to share what we learn. Truth is presented not simply to share knowledge, but with the goal that God will transform the gear's life. Praise God. Bible-oriented, with this gift comes a strong desire to know what the Lord has to say. While we may recognize the value of others' experiences, reading about them is not our main concern, nor are we especially motivated by personal illustrations. All of the spiritual gifts can be used in the workplace, in our communities, and in our homes. We make effective use of our spiritual gift when we are filled with the Spirit, but relying on ourselves would get us off track. Can the church say amen? We got to trust God. Whatever you're trying to do it for God, not for self. A Christian gifted in teaching reaps the fruit of self-control by faithfully absorbing and applying Scripture, Galatians 5:23. Come on now. Whereas shifting to human reasoning leads to self-indulgence. So one's desire to learn the Spirit develops dependability and diligence. But unless a believer abides in Christ, he or she can become careless and inconsistent. The fruit of peace and patience grows as studies lead to deeper faith. But anxiety and impatience result if the focus shifts to self. Well, I did this and I did that and not a God. We got to let the I's go and the we and the us, because we're all a team. And our job is to work as a team to bring us all into salvation and into the kingdom. Our goal is kingdom business. We got to do what God says do. You know, man will get you off track. You will get yourself off track. We got to stay focused on the Word of God and study it and meditate on it. Taste and see that this Word of God is good. Hallelujah. And as we finish up this Word this morning, it says, as you exercise your God-given gift, pray for the Spirit's leadership. That's how to have the greatest impact for the kingdom. Therefore, allow the Spirit to direct your teaching ability for God's glory and others' gain. And I pray that this Word has touched your heart, that it has touched your mind, and that it has touched your spirit, because God's Word is true. All we have to do is stand on it and believe it and trust it and know that God is always there. He is with you in your good. He is with you in your bad. He is with you in your coming in and your going out. Trust the name of the Lord in all things. Trust God, and he will guide your footsteps. All you have to do is believe. And before we get out of here, a word from our sister in Christ this morning. And the word for today is this. God has great things for you, and his promises are yours to enjoy. Find your place in life through him. Have a terrific Tuesday, family. That is our word for this morning. Please join me tomorrow morning. that again, God. God, we pray every day, and I say, may the Lord watch between me and thee while we are absent one from each other. In the name of Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior, whose blood flows through our veins. Hallelujah. All I can say is thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for watching over those that listen live and those that listen later. Thank you in advance, God. For the blood of Jesus covers them from the crown of their head to the soles of their feet. And I ask you, Lord God, to add a blessing to the reading and teaching of this word, that we will know that there is no other but you, God, that you created the heavens and the earth and everything there is, and that we are your clay and you are the potter that created each and every one of us, for we are all uniquely made. Each one unique to you, for we are your creation. And it's in the name of the matchless Savior Christ Jesus, I pray over everyone, listen live, listen later, that you will watch over them, that you will bless them, that you will guide and lead them. In the precious and the holy name of Christ Jesus, I thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. And again, family, the opening up of your word gives light and understanding. Trust God today to work in your life. And as we say, I'm moving forward. Family, it's a wrap. It's time to go to work. Love you all. Be blessed. And have a great and blessed day. It's a wrap.